Okay, guys, we'll get started here. IBES, we actually came out with this name, okay? It's Initiative-Based Evolving Strategies and Tactics. And we'll talk about that a little bit here in the next couple, because people are like, what's that mean? Initiative-based what? Okay. But it's just something that we've put together that talks about church security as a whole, and it covers more of the security portion of it. Okay, but we'll get into that a little bit more. Of course, there's my favorite. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And I want to live peaceably, but we've already covered this. If you come in here to hurt me or more importantly, my family or my brothers and sisters in Christ, then I'm not just going to stand around. Okay, so let's talk about General Al Gray, good commandant in the Marine Corps. But here's the difference when we're talking about strategies and tactics. Strategies, the science and art of employing all the forces effectively, the best manner possible to achieve successful resolution. That's your leadership. They're more in going to be more involved with that, with the strategy overall. How do we make this happen? And then tactics. Tax is not whether you go left or right, but why you go left or right. Okay, and then a subcategory of tactics, okay, is techniques. Excuse me. There's a million techniques. This is why I said when we teach today, I'm going to tell you, hey, do this, do that, okay? But I'm telling you, I've been taught 50 other techniques, but we're going to work out what I've seen with my experience, what Ricky has seen with his years of experience, the techniques that are most effective and efficient. There's a lot of people out there with a lot of techniques that work really good on the range. They work really good when you're static. But when things really are moving at the speed of life, they don't work. Okay? So we'll talk about that. Initiative-based tactics. Initiative-based tactics are enclosure and open-air clearing tactics and techniques that are driven by the actions and initiative of the individual first responder. That's you. A baseline knowledge of the techniques and fundamentals is common to all, but the application of these skills is directed by the challenges of the particular scenario. And when I say scenario, I don't mean the scenarios that we're going to have today. I'm just saying that I'll just use an example that we train with the Navy SEALs. We go down to Pendleton sometimes, and we train with the Marine Corps occasionally too. They have they do things a little bit differently because they have more people to train. But, you know, they'll say, so they have their room clearing process is cookie cutter. So because they know one guy goes in, boom, here, and he covers from this angle to this angle. This other guy comes by in here, goes here, and the guy comes right in the middle. Okay? Because of the amount of operations and because of the debriefs and the incidents that happen, we come back and we evolve our tactics and say, there are certain times, why do I need to go into the room? Can I engage the guy from the outside? And do I need to go that way? Or if I can clear the door once I see it, I get up here and I see there's no wall, well, I just button hook around and this guy comes in behind me. So, but that's that is a little more for your slowed down movement, okay? Your stealth movement. In rapid deployment, but some of that stuff overlies, or they come together the same thing. It's like firearms training, right? Like I said, and the tactics, they mesh together. So there's certain times, when you get on the range, do you need to understand front sight posts, trigger squeeze, breathe, all that pull, squeeze, boom, surprise break, and follow through? You do. Do you use that in combat shooting? Do to an extent, but not you don't take as long to do it. So you still need to learn the basic tactics, but you're going to do it different depending on what the scenario is. You may make different movements. You're going to make your judgment on what you have in front of you, just not, hey, we need to do an entry into this room, and we always do it left, right, guide straight down the center. Okay? Anchor points for today. This is when you guys, when you're done with today, after we've had the classes and we went through the hands-on practical evolution, this is what we want, we sat down, and this is what we want you guys to know and understand when you leave here. It's going to be defined down to just a handful of things, because you've received a whole bunch of information. But decision-making skills, we're going to want you to leave here with better decision-making skills, and between what's lethal, non-lethal, skills as far as putting tourniquets on, how do you put those on? Do I need it on, or is it just a venous bleed? You'll know that. You'll have a good, better decision. Reaction under stress. You're going to get a little bit of stress on you. You're going to get the lights turned out here and there, okay? And somebody's going to say, hey, let's go get that thing on. A little bit of stress. Stress inoculation. When we do the movement and stuff, things that you would have surprised you before, you're going to learn, and that goes into your toolbox, okay? And tactics is something. Firearms training is perishable skill. Okay, it's like doing push-ups. You can do 100 if you do 100 push-ups, right? Well, if you quit doing it for a while, you're not going to, the next time you're not going to go do that whole thing. Okay, but so you have to keep doing it. You have to keep shooting. Tactics are a little more, they're not so perishable. Once you have them, you retain them, you put them in your toolbox, and you can always use them later. Okay? So, proper distance. We're going to learn a lot about distance today because that plays a lot into tactics, okay? Stance. So proper distance, stance, and time, perpetual distortion, that just has to do, perpetual distortion has to do with a lot of things. You may hear things, see things, will change when you come under stress. You may not hear gunshots. You may not see something. You might be so focused on one thing, you don't see what's going on over here. And then guided self-discovery is the main thing that we want to teach you today, is that when you go do your own training, when you're done, you debrief, and you teach yourself. You go back, you stand around, you go, okay, we went through this, and you're going to learn to put some guys in the room, and he's going to watch you move up, and he's going to tell you, hey, I heard you dragging against the wall. Hey, if you would have turned that light off out in the hallway, I wouldn't have known you were coming. If you wouldn't have stuck your gun through the door before you came all the way around there, I wouldn't have known until you got all the way around. You're going to learn some of those things, and then you're going to be able to guide your own training by saying, hey, you guys, training would be as easy as saying, hey, let's take a 2 hours Friday morning or an hour and let's do some movement training. You'll learn, you unbelievable the amount you will learn from just doing that. Okay, so and so all of these things, so that's what I want to really leave you with, guys, with today, because there's so much. You're not going to be completely confident in everything we talk about today. You're not going to remember everything we talk about today, but if you teach yourself to learn by doing it, we'll accomplish our mission. Okay. Crisis management, survival mindset, awareness, preparation, rehearsal. All right. Now, Gil actually gets some credit time in this video. Gil's here, and I'll point him out. Gil was at this event. You hear him? He'll come in here in just a second. This is when he worked at Lanning. No, he's not there yet. He'll be coming. Here he is, right here. In the back. There we go. He's still not done. Here he comes. A couple more. There he is, again. Okay. It's funny. It's very funny, but there's a lot, if you watch, I've slowed this down, watched it several times, slow motion. And a lot of the stuff we're going to go over today, by the end of the day, you would be able to really pull this out of a lot of things that happened there. One thing, apparently we didn't do a press check on our weapon, did we, before we went to do an assassination. Thank God he didn't. But does everybody that has a CCW, do you do a press check? Do you check your weapon every time you leave? Go today, ooh. Take it out back, wherever you do, pull it back. If it's nighttime, press it so you can, I got a round in the chamber. A lot of police, A lot of people at CCW driving around there right now, no one around under a gun. Because they didn't do a press check. So you can see he did that. So he comes up, boom, didn't do it. What did he do? He was gonna rack it again. So he rehearsed. He's a little bit rehearsed. He's going into it. What's the guy that he's trying to assassinate? He saves his own life. Okay, he did. Because he went boom. Okay, so he tried to deflect the weapon. Okay, and then he went to contain it, which is what we teach, right? Deflect, contain, take the guy out, maybe put some elbows on him, and then disarm him. Okay? So he did that, and then he went at the guy, but the guy knocked him down. But that gave the other guy enough time to run in there and come take him. Okay? Hit him, took him down to the ground. And then things just went to nonsense. Because, and they tried to assassinate one of their leaders here. I understand there's a lot of emotion behind that. Unaware, unprepared, unrehearsed. The thing is, he's rolling around there. The guy's putting the boots to him, right? Listen, normally when I'm on duty, I carry two guns on me. I carry two guns and a knife. Okay, so what do you need to control? What kills you? My hands kill you. So putting the boots, giving me a couple kicks in the chops, punching me a couple times. There's some guys out there can take some real beating, but they didn't. One guy had hold of one hand. Okay. And the other guy, what if he'd have pulled out another gun? He'd boom, 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 boom. He'd got a gang of people, right? So we need to think about, we rehearse these things. We talk about them. Being aware is the very first thing we need to do, okay? And being prepared. Hey, what if happens? What are we going to do? And then rehearse. And then rehearsing is the training. So I just think that this is a good video to demonstrate a lot of that because there's a lot of things that happen that could be. This is one we would definitely brief for a long time, okay? And if you slow it down, you can actually see a lot of this stuff a lot better. But that guy actually did something most people would have just been like, but he actually, bam, slapped his gun, and so then the guy had to come back, and he was trying to rack it. Then he went towards him, and he, like, pushed him down. But see, if he would have just gotten one more and chambered around, because that's what he was doing, it was in what we call immediate action. That's what we're taught. We come up, boom, you shoot, click, boom, and you can do that. And that's what he was going to do, but that guy slapped his hand. So he saved himself. I don't know what country this was and what issues it was about. But combat triad. We'll go through these kind of quickly. But anybody know who Jeff Cooper is? Jeff Cooper was a World War II veteran. He ran Gunsight over in Arizona for years. He's passed away a number of years ago. But everybody know who Dave Grossman is? Writes all the stuff on officer safety and talks about, he wrote On Combat and all this other material. Jeff Cooper was way before Dave Grossman, okay? And he's considered the father of modern firearm, handgun training, okay? And Jeff has written a number of books, good reading and so forth, and he's a lot into mindset, and he talks a lot about mindset. Like I say, he's a World War II veteran. And then he worked in South America and so forth after that. And so he has a lot of experience. But he says, man fights with his mind. His hands and his weapons are simply an extension of his will. And one of the fallacies of our era is the notion that equipment is equivalent to force. Having a big gun with a lot of magazines, brand new stuff, that's all good. But I'll take a guy who's got a cheap gun, who's practiced with it, run through drills, done reality-based training. Okay, or has actual experience, will always be better than the newest, best techniques with, you know, all the little scopes on the gun and the high end, all that. I mean, that's all okay, but it's the weapon's not this. It's your mind that makes you able to use that, and you have to train with it. Four levels of mastery. We're going to talk about that because today you're not going to leave here. You're not going to have mastered everything. But when we talk about mastery, unconscious incompetence, we know what that is. Okay, that's high school, right? Conscious incompetence, think they know and refuse to listen. My wife says I'm still in this stage right here, okay? And so do probably my kids, okay? Thinks he knows everything and he won't listen to anything. Maybe conscious competence. Today, when you leave, you will be consciously competent in putting wound packing, putting tourniquets on, chest seals, assessments, and movement, basic movement. You'll be consciously competent in that. OK, Okay, the difference, unconsciously competence, practice it until you forget it. I like to use boxers as an example. I had my grandfather was a professional boxer back in the 20s, 20s and 30s. And listen, I know a 60-year-old man, I seen him knock someone out, okay, up at the supermarket. And he, see, when you practice something over and over and over, it just comes out. He didn't think, hey, I'm going to go, bam, 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 and it just happened. Okay, the same thing happens with your shooting, okay? You have to, we'll talk in the next slide, you have to build something into your system, and it takes a while to build that in there. So you won't just default to it. You'll have to think about it. The same thing when you go to do your movement in the hallway, you come to the door, you'll have to think about, I want to slice a pie, I want to move through here like this. Okay, once you've done it over and over and over, it'll just become second nature to you. So, and I use boxers because they don't think. Two boxers in a ring, right? Then he doesn't think, oh, he just threw a straight right at me. I'm gonna duck under with my left, come up, do a left hook, straight right, left uppercut, and a double jab out, does he? No, he's done it thousands of times on the focus mitts in the gym. Thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And then he still gets it wrong sometimes. Okay, majority of the time it comes out the way it's supposed to. But if he makes the slightest mistake, this other guy capitalizes on it, right? It's a chess game. If you see two really good boxers or what wrestlers, jiu-jitsu, golfers, I don't care what it is, they have to ingrain all those things inside of them. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Mindset, mental trigger. Everybody should have a mental trigger. We have one. We had one this morning, didn't we? What was it? What was our mental trigger this morning? We all had one. Ricky took me and Tom and Cameron went with us. We went out and prayed in the hallway. Okay? And then Pastor Will, he got up here and prayed too, right? That's a mental trigger. We're renewing our heart, but it's still the same thing. We're trying to put ourselves in the right mindset to take this stuff in. So you have to, when we take this responsibility, be security or whatever we're going to do in that church, we have to have that mindset. We have to have a trigger when we come in. We have to leave all, hey, I just got in a fight with my wife, or we had an argument, because that never happens, right? We're Christian. Yeah. And I never got mad at the kids and all that kind of stuff. We have to leave all that, and we have to have a mental trigger that says, whatever it is, everybody has something different that does it. They say, you can pray, of course, is always for us, or the music is music brings the Holy Spirit in, that's a trigger. But I'm saying, and I'm talking more in associated with, hey, my mind, when I come in here, I have to know I'm security today here. Okay, I have to trigger over to, now I'm thinking about this and not thinking about, what's the football game this afternoon, that kind of thing. That's all part of awareness, okay? Decisiveness, aggressiveness, and ruthlessness. Nobody likes to think about that. I don't like to think about it. But it's something you have to think about now, and it's something that you'll need to discuss before you vet guys and put them on a security team. Are you willing to be ruthless? To stop that guy from going down a hallway? Or do you want to give him a chance? There are different opinions, and I wouldn't argue with somebody, but if you feel you can't do it, then you need to, it's okay, because not everybody does think they can do it or are willing to do it, but you need to step forward and say, hey, guys, how about, I think I can serve better over here. But the issue needs to be talked about, because it can't, if it doesn't come up and something happens and you haven't thought the process through it, it's going to create even more problems. Okay? Have we thought about this? I mean, this is one of the biggest things working as a paramedic when you have to do internship. I mean, how many guys, I only had to do whatever it was, what did we do, 2 months internship at Lenox. And, I mean, we've seen all kinds of shot people, and now you go work on them, right? And they're gang members, and some are ladies who were at a party, and her husband shot her and killed her, and you're trying to work her up. All stressful stuff. But when it comes to kids, okay, I don't care who you are, but you'll have to, all these things you need to mentally put yourself through and ask you these things. If these things happen, you have to be mentally prepared before it happens. Otherwise, you'll break down, right? I mean, you're going to be like, you'll be overwhelmed. You'll have to teach yourself, move through it, push through it, do what you need to do, and then afterwards, you can deal with it, and you will have to deal with it. Your partner, what if he goes down in front of you? Ricky, Gil, Have you thought through that? Hey, I'm going to have to step over him and keep going. I know he's got a wife and kids. I know Ricky's got a wife and kids. And the same with me. But if I stop and treat him, I just change my mind for that one person, and 10 kids get shot in the other room, Ricky don't want me to do that, and I don't want him to do it for me. Okay, but you can't have anything that makes you stutter step, okay? We already talked about this a little bit. Training scars, okay? This is where reality-based training comes in. We watch TV. We learn certain things. Stop. Let me see your hands. Suspect. That's whatever you train to do is what you're going to do in a real situation. We were talking out in the hallway. You were talking about the CHP officers up in North County, L.A. County. That was back in the 70s. But there's been all kinds of incidents of things that happen. And you can recount them. But these guys, they used to get taught in the academy because brass is very expensive. They were taught to shoot, dump it in their put it in their pocket, reload, and shoot. So they ran into two very bad dudes. I won't even say they're bad. I mean, I'm not giving these guys any credit. They got lucky, but they were ruthless, okay? They were ruthless. That's the one thing people have on us right off the bat, okay? Because we're not animals. A lot of them guys think like animals. But anyway, it's four of them. All four of them officers were killed by some guys who just didn't care about anything, but they found brass in every one of their pockets. Okay? That's a training scar. And there's a lot of training scars. That's why you'll see when I wrote down the training plan, and I think it'll come up here a little bit later, that when we have training, there has to be an objective to the training. We're not just going to jump, hey, let's go run through here and say, what's going to be our objective today? Let's do a man down, okay? And then when we come back, we run the man down, then we come back and we debrief it, and then we want to talk about what worked and what didn't really work, okay? Because those issues will come up. And then we have to think it the whole process through. Why are we doing this? Everything should be questioned, and it should be evolving. There's a better way to find. There's a lot of very solid fundamentals, but there's always a better way to do something. Okay. Weapons handling equipment familiarity. The folks being armed in the church is becoming a lot of guys with CCWs. Don't have a problem with that. A lot of police, firemen. That's fine. How many are they take this task serious? And I'm not pointing out anybody in here. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. But I know a number of people. A friend of mine, his uncle, he's from Arizona, and he's one of those guys. I got my CCW. This was years ago. This is talking 10, 15 years ago. And he said he pulled it on a guy. For what? Well, the guy cut me off in the car. Okay, what if that guy took that away from you? And could you shoot him for pulling in front of you in the car? So people they don't go through the proper training, and they don't think about the proper employment of the weapon. Or let's talk about equipment. When you come into church, you're wearing your weapon. Remember I talked about dry firing. A lot of the professional shooters do it. They dry fire. They'll dry fire 2 to 3 hours a day. In other words, they just go boom, 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 call, and they do that. And they'll do thousands of repetitions like that and not fire a live round. Then they'll go to the range and do it, and then they'll videotape themselves because they want to take out, hey, what am I doing so I can go faster, right? But how many people that are going to be armed here, how many have done that? Dry fired from their holster, got used to pulling it up, coming out. Okay, and how many people have a holster be like, I haven't really broke this thing in? Happens to police all the time. They get brand new gear. It's one of our biggest issues. They get brand new gear. They don't break it in. And then you get out there. Oops. Thank God we're protected, I believe, many times. Okay, we get lucky or we're protected. Okay? So I don't want to rely. I want to rely on my skill, not on luck. Okay? And the only way that I can have skill is if I build muscle memory and I actually work through those things. Okay, pistols, rifles, shotgun. How much ammunition do you have? We have to think through that whole thing. What do we have? Can suspects see your weapon? Okay? Now, I know you guys already saw this because this thing's pulling my shirt up. I carry my 2-inch in my back, and then I have my... but I don't always carry on my side. But I have a little Smith & Wesson sometimes I carry. But I don't want you to know. Okay? And in fact, I don't even want anybody in the church to know, except the other security guys. We shouldn't be talking about it. And it shouldn't be, there used to be, you'd see some police, they'd be walking around like this. Remember this, Tom? So they have their gun, and everybody knew cops carry backup guns, and they have it sticking out like that. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding a bit. You remember it? Mr. Arias used to do that. Okay? But it looked kind of, because it kind of looked cool. But anybody could have grabbed that. And the second issue is, do you want somebody knowing you have it? I don't want them knowing I have a weapon until I'm on top of them. That's the last thing I want them to know. That'll be the last thing they remember if they're running through here shooting people or hurting people. Okay, a vest, that's a whole issue that comes up to you guys, whether you want to wear that or not. And the list goes on and on and on, and it's discussed among law enforcement, security professionals, and get on the internet, look up YouTube. You can look at pictures. They practice this stuff in the prison all the time, okay? And so don't people out in the woods, good people, some bad people, but they know. A lot of people live in the South Central Los Angeles. They practice this stuff. Either that or they've learned, they were one of the ones that made it through the hierarchy, and they learned through mistake and they actually survived. Some of them guys have been shot 4 or 5 times. They live, they made it through. They understand all these dynamics of actually carrying a weapon, using it. Okay. Training. Takes 3,000 to 5,000 repetitions to make an action subconsciously competent, hardwired. Okay, so that's how many times, like I said today, you guys will be consciously competent. So, because once you think about it, you'll be able to put it on. But it takes 3,000 to 5,000 repetitions of anything to make something hardwired. Okay, like we're talking, using the boxer for the example. Left, right, left hook, left uppercut, double jab, right? Takes a long time to learn that where he doesn't have to, under stress, he's fatigued, it just comes out. Boom, 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 boom. Also, it takes that to on-train a bad habit to overcome it. Stress inoculation. We want inoculation and training for better decision making, so that you'll recognize the pattern the next time you see it. I'm not looking to make you fail. When we do something in the movement or in the class, or these guys turn the light off or put a little timer on you, they're not looking to make for you to fail. They're not looking to embarrass you, and I don't want you to do any. I want you to work through the problem, so that when you leave here, you know. Tomorrow, if somebody needs a tourniquet on, you're like, I can put it on. Okay? CQB, ECQB, marksmanship courses are very good, and you have to keep the fundamentals, but you're going to need the CQB. Because that's in this, it is important to have good marksmanship skills, but in these kind of close quarters, it's more about tactics than it is than the marksmanship. Okay? Training must be frequent. But quality is just as important. Training must have definable objectives. Okay, must include self-aid and staying in the fight scenarios. So, if somebody tells you today, if you're moving through the thing and you with the firearm, and I go, "Hey, you just got shot in the arm." Okay, and so should you fall down? No, you say, "Okay, stick your hand in your pocket for me. Keep that gun. Keep moving." Or either that or stay where you're at and say, "Hey, I've been hit. Hey, you guys, I've been hit. I'm still holding on the door. I don't want to, okay, I'm out." Nope. I don't care. How many guys have you seen, Gil? That's Will seen it. We all seen it. How many guys been hit with a 9mm, hit in the head, traveled around, and there's a big bump in the back of the head, and you take them over to the hospital? Shot 9mm. I've seen it at least 3 times. You pull up, and there's a big knot in the back of his head, bleeding a little bit. What happened? Some guy, after me, whatever, shot me, crossed the street, hit me, traveled around his skull. Just because you've been shot doesn't mean you're out of the fight. And then you're not out of the fight, and you're going to self-treat yourself. So if you're stuck there by yourself and nobody can come up and you're covered, then you're going to put that tourniquet on yourself and close it off. These guys will talk about they're going to talk a little bit more about the tourniquets and so forth, because you just only got a couple minutes. If you've been hit someplace in an artery, you have 2 or 3 minutes before you bleed out completely. Okay? But you can save yourself. And 60% of all deaths, and they've shown in combat, come from somebody bleeding to death, and they think that, they state that they were preventable. Okay? Because we just didn't know what we didn't know. I mean, the training has evolved. Okay? Okay, law of specificity. You will not arise to occasion. You will descend to the level, your level of your training. So in other words, going back to my use of the boxer as the example, right? Just because you get yourself worked up, oh, let's just take a drunk guy in a bar. Okay? He's all worked up. But if he's not done, if he's never fought before, or he hasn't done a lot of fighting, but he just feels tough, he's mad, or whatever, and he jumps up in there, he's going to start out pretty good. He'll probably start swinging wildly, but what's going to happen very quickly? He's going to deteriorate, okay? If he's not done any training, and that's not to, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of guys in bars that can fight. Don't kid yourself. Everybody goes to MMA gym. I know guys in bars who can fight, outfight, have far more actual fighting experience in bars and are much tougher. And you look at him and go, oh, yeah, them are the ones you need to worry about. But just keep this in mind. That's why when we train, we want everything that we do today, we want to do it like we would actually do it in an actual incident. Like when I teach you guys, I've got little air pistols, and all these go pop, 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 pop. They got CO2. They're not going to fire anything out of it. But when you fire, if I have you put you in a problem where you fire something, I'm going to talk to you a little later, specifically after lunch, about how you engage that and how many times you engage it. Okay? Because that's, I don't want to teach you to go pop, pop, and go, because that's what like a lot of people do at the range. They want right away how they do. Okay? Number one, you didn't do your follow through. Number two, you're not worrying about it's, you're treating it, that's paper. What you should be training is that that's an actual threat out there. Okay? Bam, 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 bam. Is he hit? Is he a threat? Okay, no good. And then take a breath, because everything will close out in your eyes and your mind, and you're going to open your view up a little bit, and then you're going to decide, do I want to disarm him? Do I stay on him? Do I back off? Wait till somebody comes up? Do I need to hit him another one? Because people have been shot multiple times, 4, 5, 6 times. If he's got another gun, or he still's got his gun in his hand, you need to think about getting behind cover and concealment. You might even want to have thought about that before you shot. But it will all depend on how you've trained yourself to act under, because you're not going to think about it before a very stressful incident. Same thing with a fight. Even if you talk to some guy in the chapel here and he's just back and forth and you go up and talk, hey, can I talk to you a minute, brother? You know, of course you want to help him because we're in church. But in the back of your mind should be, if this guy, I'm not going to think, oh, you know, I can talk him out of it. No, I'm thinking about if he swings, I'm going to try to block and keep him from hitting me. And then what am I going to do? Okay, because he's going to keep hitting on me. He's gone off. Right? So whatever you train to do, that's what's going to happen. Okay? Intel. Carl Chin. Carl put on a class down there. He's from Texas. He's been in the two shootings in the churches. And he has, actually, one of the stories was really good about, he had, God bless him. This is what I'm talking about. Sometimes heart, man, the heart will get you through the fight, no matter about your equipment. But a guy came into the church with a rifle. He had shot some people out in the parking lot. He came in. Old Carl comes down. He's got a 380, wasn't it, Ricky? Comes down with a 380 and ready to get busy. That's a serious dude. He's as dangerous as any dude with a machine gun who's not. So he's not a policeman. He's not anything. But he was going to come down. And so fortunately for him, there was a retired female officer in the church too, and she was on the other side of the hallway. And she had a 9mm, and she shot the guy, too. I think she shot him in hand, right? Yeah, shot him in hand, dropped the weapon, and they got him into custody and so forth. But still resolved it, okay? But what happened is he had a feeling something was going to happen, because he had read some reports that Friday night there were some problems at a church north of there, like in a couple counties, right? And he had seen some things happen, and he monitors a lot of these sites of these pro-gay and so forth that come and demonstrate at church and stuff, but in some of the other groups. He monitors a lot of that stuff. And he actually has a website right here, if you want to write that down. And he keeps track of all the shooting incidents in churches in the United States. He just does that. It's a real simple layout format, and it's nothing scientific. But he keeps track of it, and he updates it. And he'll tell you kind of a little bit about what happened, how many people were shot or hurt, and some of the intel for it. And it's good intel. But he knew, he said he had a feeling, so he brought his gun in with him because he knew something had been happening that weekend. So I don't think we can say enough about maybe having intel, having somebody that just acts as even a part-time intel person. Right? Okay, do you have a designated crime analysis? Do you debrief other incidents? That gives you that toolbox to know, right? The shark bump theory, what is that? Shark circles, right, before he comes into the prey. And sometimes they'll come in and they'll bump them. A lot of these guys, before they've been bit by sharks out there, they get bumped first. Well, that's what you're going to get people that come in the church. If somebody's really paying attention, who are they? Why are they here? Why are they worrying about how this is built? I've seen them here. They're doing a bump. They're seeing, hey, what's the security procedures? Who's here? That type of thing. That would be more on your terrorist level. Who's this guy driving around taking pictures of this thing? Yeah, write his play down. Or ask him, hey, brother, how's it going? Who are you? What are you doing? So we can gather intel like that. And so one of the best sources of intel is the people singing, the praise people, and the pastor, because he has the best view of this whole thing, right? Ricky and I came down for a funeral here not too long ago. And there was a fully patched Hell's Angel. I think you were gone. It was for the funeral. Huh? Okay. Yeah. There, you saw him. You talked to him. There was a fully patched Hell's Angel with his jacket on. And I don't have anything against Hell's Angel, except I don't like bikers. Okay. And he was walking around in the back like this. Personally, what do I think? I think he's being convicted by the Holy Spirit. I think he knew some of the people here. I think they talked to him. I think he's being convicted by the Holy Spirit. But somebody got to notice that and then pass it on to the security. And hey, somebody, and you talk to him, right? Yeah. Hey, that's great. Maybe that guy gets saved, but maybe on the other side, he doesn't. And maybe he decides he's overtaken by his emotions because of all things that he's involved in. Okay? So that's all intel that we need to share with each other, and we need to brief with each other, and just incidents like that, and say, how do we handle this the next time? If we have an incident like this, how are we going to handle it? It just helps you work some of those issues out. Say again? Yeah, we'll talk about that just a little bit here. Yeah, it's in here a little bit. But I didn't get a lot into defensive tactics. You could do that for a whole day. I brought Cameron. See, me, I'm a defensive tactics guy. I'm not a martial arts artist. But I do practice a lot of defensive tactics stuff. But Cameron, I put him in jiu-jitsu when he's 8 years old. So he's my defensive tactic guy. Plus, he's a wrestler. And him and I practice some of this stuff out in the back, actually. And a lot of it's very easy, simple stuff. Throwing blocks, deflecting, getting control, okay, and getting, throwing an elbow, a knee. But that's a whole day.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that. I don't mean engaging physically, but from the point of, in law enforcement, we're trying to escalation force from when do you go from presence, which is your presence, verbal,
right. Yeah.
Especially for this team now, yeah. I mean, this is more objective focused towards an active shooter. We're not even looking at that.
We are. Okay. We're going to get into that just a little bit, because some of our scenarios today are going to deal with some of that. Like I said, we couldn't focus on anything specific, but we're trying to put it together so it kind of covers a little bit of everything. And, so we are actually going to, that's a good question, we're going to get in. Security details need to be formally structured, each detail specifically defined, techniques, tactics, and procedures. That's a new TTP, I changed that. So saw that in the book. I used to say, we used to say SOPs, right? TTPs are meant to be used as a foundational base and a guideline, not as an all-inclusive playbook. People always call and say, hey, can you guys give me your tactics book? I'm sure Tom's had that overseas and stuff. Hey, do you guys have like a playbook? It's not a football playbook. It comes from the totality of what you know and what best fits the situation. But there's a lot of concepts that go into that. Okay, church security, interior, exterior, personal. So there's a number of different details. Okay, lethal, non-lethal. Okay, now there's you have cooperative, resistive, assaultive, life-threatening. So we have this is where we get into. I'm not going to go into a whole thing about you know what you can do, what you can't do, but a lot of this is common sense, and a lot of this will come out in role-playing. It has to do with decision-making process, and it has to do with a lot of times with people's life experience. Because there's guys in here who I'm no doubt have been in a lot of fights in school or whatever. It's probably the guys I don't recognize. You know, you think I don't. Probably has a lot of right there. So they have a lot of experience like that, and they're able to talk to somebody and not get themselves all upset and get involved in. And then you have other people that might just go from pulling a gun and saying, hey, get down. And then the other guy, man, what are you pointing a gun at me for? So there's a whole escalation of force. There's got to be, you have to have some kind of training. You at least need to talk about this stuff and then train your guys up through it. And then, like, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Justin.
You have guys and Gil that have that, and they can actually train you through that. I mean, you could, in 2 hours or 1 hour of role-playing, you could cover a lot of that and then make sure anybody that comes into your security detail gets trained up on that. So that they understand that, hey, if the guy's just, if he's cooperative, like your kid that walked up to the thing there, he was semi-cooperative, but he was right on the edge, wasn't he, of being resistive. Okay, and then we need to talk about what do we do when he gets, if he goes, Woody, because what if out comes a little two-inch knife? That's big, he can do a lot of damage. Okay, so then we have we thought that out, or do we go into the lag time? Like, okay, what do we do with this? Okay, training, role-playing, verbal de-escalation, defensive tactics, orology, the spear system, them are all defensive tactics type things. I'll give you a couple internet sites that are really good to go to. Cameron does, my son does a lot of this stuff. It's World War II. It's total hand-to-hand combat type stuff. It's for taking somebody out very quickly. It's not wusha and sidekick and all that. It's all about blocking it, bam, hitting somebody up underneath the chin, hit him twice real quick, put your fingers in his face, take him down to the ground, and then try to work him out of there. Because a lot of times it's better to do it quick and get it over with than it is, you know, get pulled around and then you got to beat on him. And what, like we saw in the thing there, right? Nobody took control of the guy's hands. Somebody could have just put a chokehold on him. I won't call it chokehold. But they could have put a hold, kind of put him out a little bit, got his hands behind his back, hooked him up, and dragged it and got him out of there, right? Because you want to get it out of the area. Because who else is out there? Did he bring somebody with him? You know, and they're all admiring the gun. Yeah, it's a gun. How about somebody pick it up, clear it, get rid of it, and get this problem out of here? And before that, get our pastor or whoever that individual was. So training, inexpensive. Here's a couple good sites if you guys want to go to it. This guy here, Nick Dross, he's in Canada, but he's really got some excellent, just very good defensive tactics stuff on how to handle people, you know. And he has a helmet, and I thought about, Cameron and I do some of this in the backyard. We have a mat, and he goes out and does a social thing where he'll go out and tell girls, hey, can I talk to you a minute? And they'll say, yeah, and they'll be filming. And he'll say, hey, what I'm going to do is, would you like to role play? And he puts a helmet on. A guy, and he says, so I'm gonna grab you, and like that I was going to drag you over to the trees here, and I want you to, you do whatever you would normally do. And so they do that, and then comes back, and he'll say, okay, so can I just show you a couple things that would make you a lot more effective? And by the time he gets done with them, 20 minutes later, you know, they'll play it against you, grab it, man, she comes up with a couple, bam, bam, hits him under the chin, knees him, and she's off, right? Instead of trying to, you know, struggle with him and fight him, he just shows some real effective defensive tactics maneuvers. Okay. Same thing with Tony Bauer. He's a lot more in-depth. He's got classes you can get. I've been to his classes with Ricky. Ricky, remember that guy, the instructor? You were in that when that guy, yeah. some real good stuff on how to use those same kind of tactics. Okay, lethal elements. Has to be strict protocols and policy regarding lethal response. Who respond and how? Protocols and policy need to be written and enforced. Talk and role-playing account for much of the church's active shooter, active assailant response training. Okay, communication. How do we communicate with each other? Radio, cell phones, hand and arm signals. How do we identify the good guys from the bad guys? So I know you guys wear shirts. Okay, some people wear wristbands. But this is a real issue, and it's going to become even more of an issue with more CCW. Because if something happens and everybody comes running in there with a gun, yikes. And even when everybody's in the same uniform, we have these issues. Now you put everybody doesn't know everybody. Some people are getting a lot more hopped up. They don't have the experience. But we saw this in San Diego, too. So you hook this thing, you tie it on your side here, and you can then there's a way you can hook it in there so that you just pull it out, and you come over the top like this with it. I just ordered it from the guy. And little did he know that I'm probably going to make a bunch of them, okay? Because they're $30, and I'm thinking, I can have them made for $5. So, but he's got them for different color ones, police, security, whatever. But, and I'm not trying to sell his product. I just bought it because I thought it's a really good idea. Because Ricky, I know we didn't say it in the beginning, but this whole thing, Ricky, we did this several years out there. This whole thing of standardizing security in the church is really kind of Ricky's baby from the beginning. He's seen that this is going to be needed, and so he's the one that's actually kind of pushed this stuff forward. But anyway, he saw this, and I saw this, and we've talked about this before, that even when it's good guys, I can't tell you how many times we've been at incidents, and we pulled up, first ones up there, and Tom, Sergeant, has had to go up and tell new guys, you guys need to go back over there. Because they want to get in the fight, and then they get, and they're crazy about what they're doing, and they're caught up in the adrenaline. And we're going to do this exact same thing, but we're going to be much more methodical about how we do it. Okay. Leadership, who takes the handle? How are the security members vetted? Background checks, the right person for the right job, actual experience. Employer men and women according to their capabilities. We've all heard that before somewhere, right? Okay. Strategies. So today, when we get into our strategies and tactics, I like the KISS rule. Keep it simple, okay? Because that's the best tactics, okay? Occam's razor and all that, right? The easiest solution is usually the best solution. OODA loop, that's Colonel Boyd, okay? So every time you go through a process, right, we call it lag time, okay? But you have to observe something, you have to orient yourself, and you make a decision on what you're going to do, and you act. So I give you an example. You go ahead and point like you're pointing a gun at me, all right? So I get caught, I come into a room, and I went right into a gun, right? Well, I can't win that, right? He already knows what he's going to do, right? But what if I go real quick? So what did he have to do? He observed that I moved. He had to orient himself. He had to make a decision that he was going to switch over and then take an action. So even though just a little thing like moving or where you stand on somebody, so you're going to hear me talk about that a lot today, the OODA loop, right? Because even talking to somebody, and you get to talking to them, and you can get them to talk, what have you done? You've somewhat de-escalated because now he has to go through the whole process. If he'll engage you, he has to go back through the process of getting himself worked up again and deciding that he's going to fight you, right? Which gives somebody time maybe to get around the backside of him, okay? So that we're going to talk about that a lot. Positioning, key terrain, obstacles, cover and concealment, observations and avenues of approach. That's just about being tactical about where you're standing in the room and in the church. If something happens up in the front, I know you got halfback Jack, so you guys got your game pretty tight, but we want to think about, do we have people? I always tell Ricky when I come in there, Ricky runs the whole security thing, but a lot of times I bring my family and I just tell them, I'm your sleeper, Ricky. So I tell my wife, let me at the end here. And I'm just a sleeper because I have Cameron and Jesse and my wife with me. And you know, we want to listen to Raw. But if something happens, they know, they get down. And then I'm your guy. I'm out here. So, you know, nobody knows I'm here, but he knows I'm there. And so we want to think about where people are stationed at in the room. Okay, what's the key terrain? What are the obstacles? Is there cover and concealment in here? That type of thing. Tactical movement. We're going to do one person tactical movement today. I talked about that. We may do two person a little bit, and we're going to cover angles, doors, cover and concealment, use of two person cover and contact. I already covered this. We're running just be about five more minutes. Yes, we're still running a little late, but we'll make it up on the other side. But I've already covered this. Only move at the speed in which you can process what is happening around you. Okay? So even if you're moving quickly, you still have to be able to process what's going on. Otherwise, you'll walk right by a guy with a gun in his hand. Okay? If you're running contact team, assembled by first officers, move to the attacker. Note locations of victims if you can. Rear security, contact victim and gets dated intelligence and directions if you have four people, okay? Okay, rescue team, they'll come in. I talked about that. They'll come in. They'll do a rescue. We're going to talk about some techniques for rescuing people here, okay? And they might turn into the contact team. There's formations here, basic diamond formation. I don't know if we'll get into that. I doubt we're going to do single man and maybe two man movement at the most, but just understand that the overall concept behind security is 360 degrees so that you know what's coming up behind you. Just like if you're standing in a group somewhere and you want to know, hey, you get that feeling behind you? That's because that's your most vulnerable place. Okay? A lot of eye candy right there. Okay? T formation, good for hallways. This guy, look, he can cover doors this way, he looks straight forward for the threat, and the guy behind's watching your rear end. You can see kind of how that works out there. Okay? You can see there's nothing perfect about this movement. Okay? But if you employ some of these concepts, it's going to be to your benefit. It will give you a tactical advantage. That's not the best position to be in, turn backward like this, but he still has a visual of what's going on. That's not a great shooting stance, but again, in real life, not everything happens perfectly, right? In the movies it does, but in real life it doesn't. Okay, rescue, move up, get some intel, they get less bodies, they still move through there. Cover and concealment. Okay. So now he's going to move, and you got a couple guys putting cover and concealment down. Okay, now there's some things to think about there too. Unless he's wearing hearing aid or hearing probe protection, what do you think happens to his ears when this guy shoots? Okay, but hey, this isn't a perfect world. We're going to do whatever we got to do. Things are coming to us. We're not asking for them to happen. We just have to handle them the best we can at the time. You have to be flexible in this moving. You're going to get frustrated today when we do movement. I guarantee you. Everybody's going to get frustrated. Okay, just stick with it. Take what you can to learn from it today as much as you can, and then move through it because you're going to be like, damn, everything you tell me, I have this and that. We're not going to be terribly nitpicky, but we're going to point out, we're going to see a lot of stuff because we are very hard on ourselves when we do movement and go, oh, I missed that angle, okay, because it could mean somebody being injured. So be flexible. There's your 360 again. Okay. Angles. That's the main thing I want you guys to learn about angles today, is that we always have to cover the angles. That's always your danger point. When you look at a problem, you have to compartmentalize and you go, what is the most dangerous thing in here? For me, if I'm going to enter this room, where's the most dangerous points? And you look ahead, you see what's there, if you're looking at it, and then you got to think about left and right. That's where I'm the most vulnerable. And if I'm by myself and I come out and I go around and I come around and I check this way and check this corner, now I'm vulnerable to this one. Why? Which is not doesn't make for good movement, okay, without two people. And then when you get two people, you go, oh, but I'm vulnerable up here, so three is better, and then four. But we don't have that luxury of having all those people. Okay, choke points, anytime you're coming through a door or something like that, you're vulnerable, okay? Today, when we do move with the weapons, we're not going to talk about transitioning. We transition left shoulder, right shoulder, support hand, strong hand, back and forth. We're not going to do any transitioning today because it gets to be a little bit more of an advanced technique. A lot of our on HRTs or on active shooters, we won't transition anyway because we're moving with speed. But just know that you can do that, but we're not going to do it today. We could possibly, if we ever do anything more, or you guys can take the handle on it, because there's a lot of places it's better to transition and go to, you know, instead of coming in all the way like this, you can transition and still use a cover and concealment and come around and check somebody inside of a room. Yeah. So this is what you're going to see a couple things in here.
Go! Go! On you guys.
Anybody see anything with training scar there? That's why we work these things out. That's why we train. Think about this instead of just running up to the door and flinging it open and going in.
Yeah, you ready?
Been ready.
Can we engage from the outside? Okay, if somebody's waiting on the inside there, it's going to be a lot harder. Now I'll just switch it over. There's a little more on this. This will be your OODA loop. This will be a good demonstration of your OODA loop. And then when I talk about today, because we mostly work in pairs, I believe you guys are going to mostly work in pairs when you're security, and you want to think about anytime you approach something, a contact officer and somebody cover, right? Contact and cover. It's very simple. It's just flanking somebody is all it is. But when you do that, you create, for whoever you're doing that to, you create a problem. They can't do two things at one time.
Get up. Go.
That was an HRT, kind of an HRT problem. But do you see? So they both make. You're going to have to make an entry. The guy at some point you've decided, game's over with. He's not coming out. He's gonna do something where he already shot somebody. Whatever the situation might be, or like in a room that you might have to go into. He's in there. He's shooting people. We're going to go in. So when we go in, we don't want to go in. Both of us left, right on top of each other. Right. You go in, and anytime you can split on somebody with a gun, he can only process one person at a time, right? So the other one comes up on him. Somebody's probably going to get shot in that situation, okay? No, have no doubt about that. But if you employ all your tactics and techniques, you have a lot higher possibility of being able to survive something like that, okay? That being said, we're going to take a – go ahead, Tom. Okay, 5-minute break, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay.